autograph while down there.
Wow. A lot of people here. Excited.
I didn't know Foxborough had that kind of draw. Beautiful downtown Foxborough. Well, welcome and good afternoon, everyone. It's been nearly a quarter of a century since we announced a new head coach. And today I'm happy to welcome you all here as we introduce the 15th head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo. It's an honor to share this announcement with Gerard's family, Chantel, and their beautiful children, Shia, Gerard Jr., Cheyenne, and Shiloh. Did I get it right? Gerard's wonderful mom, Denise, and stepfather, Wilson. His brothers, Deron, Derek, and Shermont.
I'll get it right.
Well, we'll have to.
No, it's all right. It's one of those black names. I'll help you with that.
Well, Stacy told me he was
exactly.
An expert.
Exactly.
You know, he goes right by the book here. And his highly respected grandparents, Walter and Rosa, who I've heard great things about. So I've been running businesses for more than 50 years, and in my experience, the most successful leadership transitions happen when we're privileged to develop talent from within. And that allows us to create a succession plan that allows the candidate to better prepare for the opportunity when he arrives. I first met Gerard in 2008 after we drafted him 10th overall out of the University of Tennessee. On that day, we introduced him to the media, and I remember him immediately coming up to me and saying, "Kraft and Mayo, they go together pretty well." So 16 years later, here we are. As a rookie linebacker, he made quite an impact, not just on me, but on enemy ball carriers. That year, he started every game for us with 139 tackles and helped us to an 11-5 record and was named Associated Press Defensive Rookie of the Year. Now, despite joining a veteran-laden team, he immediately stepped into a leadership role and was voted the team captain in just his second year. And that leadership position as captain continued for the rest of his playing career. During his playing days, he was a student of the game who loved to watch film and was often described by his coaches and teammates as another coach on the field. After he retired during the 2015 season, he left football to pursue a successful career in business with Optum. And it was no surprise to see him return to the Patriots on the coaching staff in 2019. Football is Gerard's true passion. And I believe coaching was always his destiny. His credentials garner respect, and he relates beautifully to the players. He has been on the coaching staff now for 5 seasons, and each year his role has grown on the defense, which has now been ranked in the top 10 in the league in the 4 seasons he has coached them. His dedication, strategic acumen, and ability to inspire players have been evident. On the field, Gerard's a man of faith. He has a good heart, and he's often described as a leader of men, something I have been proud to witness firsthand. And while I've known Gerard for nearly 16 years, the week we spent together in the Holy Land in 2019 really helped strengthen my convictions about how special Gerard is as a person and how capable I thought he would be as a head coach in this league. There have been many moments in my life that other people couldn't understand, but it was the right decision for me. I did that when I first met Myra. I did that when I first met Dana. I had that same conviction when I hired Bill Belichick, a decision that many questioned at the time and told me I was making a major error. I have done that with business decisions throughout my career. And with Gerard, I knew while observing him in Israel, he was the right person to be the next head coach of the New England Patriots. And that decision has only strengthened as I've observed him over the last 5 years. I've learned to trust my instincts throughout my career, and I trust that Gerard is the right person to lead the Patriots back to the championship-level contention and long-term success. So, it is with great excitement and pleasure to introduce the next Patriots head coach, Gerard Mayo.
I appreciate you, Thunder. I call him Young Thundercat, you know, has a young heart. One thing I did learn from you today, you know, I also have a prepared statement. Yours is in like 30 font, Times New Roman, and I'm in 10. So, hey, I'll take that note. Just want to thank my family, first and foremost. You know, I see a lot of you guys on the front row, first two rows, and this has definitely been a dream of mine. I know one thing that Thunder talked about was I had always been a coach in his mind. I would say I'm a huge believer in just developing people. Whether it's on the football field, whether it's off the football field, in the media world, in business, my calling is to be a teacher and to develop people and help them see pretty much what they don't want to see, but they need to see. So my job has always been that is my calling. Becoming a Patriot, it's never really felt like a job. When I first got here in 2008, I was a first-round draft pick. 2007, you know the season, 2007. Don't worry about that one. But I come into an organization where the culture was established, the people, not only the players, but the people that worked around the building. And I was like, man, maybe I'm the missing piece, right? So I was drafted in 2008. And then the first game of the season, Tom Brady gets hurt. He's out for the year. Most people wrote us off that season, but that's when I really had an opportunity to see the culture at work. Many people, they look at culture as a, you know, retrospective way of either validating success or, you know, validating a losing season. I would say here the culture starts at the top. Mr. Kraft and the family starts at the top, but it also has to permeate throughout the organization. And I've always tried to carry that flag for the Kraft family. As he's told you, look, these guys win at a lot. They win at a lot. And I love being here. I took a break. I went to Optum. I needed a break from Bill. I went to Optum for about 4 years. And I came back. And one thing I came back with, I learned a lot at Optum. Larry Renfro, Mike Mateo, those guys. I learned a lot at Optum. About diversity, right? About diversity and inclusion. And you better believe it, being the first black coach here in New England means a lot to me. But those guys taught me you have to take ideas from other people, black, white, green, yellow, it really doesn't matter. Old, young. One thing you'll notice about me in our interaction as we continue to go is I don't like echo chambers. I want people around me that are going to question my ideas or question the way we have done things in the past. Because realistically, this game's a lot different than when I was drafted in 2008. At the same time, that's why I try to spend so much time in developing young men and young women so they know I don't want to teach them, you know, what to think. I want to teach them how to think. And once we get to that point, I think we can get back to where we need to be at the top. And I'm an open book. I'm honored. I'm ready to go. And I'm excited to be the next head coach of the Patriots.
We'll start with Mike Reese here in the front row.
This question is for Robert. There's going to come a time when you have to turn in a draft card and make a pick official or make a signing official. Who will have the final say on those decisions?
Yeah, well, this is a day we want to celebrate Jerod taking this position. What we know, we have a lot of people internally who have had a chance to train and learn under the greatest coach of all time, and a man whose football intellect is very special. So in the short term, we're looking for collaboration as our team has a tremendous opportunity to position itself right, given our salary cap space, and you know, we've never drafted. In my 30 years of ownership, we've never been drafting as low as we're drafting. So we're counting on our internal people, whom we're still learning and evaluating. So we're going to let that evolve and develop. And before the key decisions have to be made, we will appoint someone. And at the same time, we'll probably start doing interviews and looking at people from the outside. But my bias has always been in all our family companies to try to develop a culture from within where we understand one another. I'll just give you a little factoid. In the 30 years that we've owned the team, today, so it's really 31, this is the third coach that our family has hired. In that period, there have been 244 coaches hired in the NFL, which means an average of roughly 8 coaches per team, which means there's a turnover every 3.5 years in the teams. We like to get continuity in our company, get the most competent people, and then try to build stability. And so before we just rush and hire people, we want to understand what we have internally. It's a long answer, but an important question.
This question is for Jerod. Jerod, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been reported in recent days you set up interviews for a defensive coordinator position and special teams coordinator position. I'm curious if you'll open a search for an offensive coordinator, and if so, what traits and experience will you prioritize?
That's a great question. I would say, just like Thunder alluded to, everything's still under consideration. Obviously, the staff that I've been working with isn't the staff that I've chosen, but everything's under evaluation. One thing I would say with all of my coaches, the number one thing is developing people. And with this generation, I mean, back when I first started playing, most of the time guys, you know, coach would say something and guys would do it. I think with this generation, it's about you have to show them that you care about them before you get into, you know, competency as far as X's and O's are concerned. And that's one thing I feel like with all my coaches, they should know the players. They should know their room better than I do. They're closer to those guys, and they have that day-to-day interaction. But to me, whether we're talking offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, all that stuff is under eval. And my number one thing is I want to bring in developers.
Hi, Gerard. Congratulations on the job. Just a thought on kind of following that up. Do you plan to officially name an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams member? And what's your vision of what you want from this team, both offensively and what we've seen from you defensively? And will the Belichicks remain on the staff?
That's like four questions in one.
Sorry. But only got one chance
trying
to get them
four.
All in.
That's about four questions in one. The first one was what? What's the first question again? Break it down.
Will you officially name coordinators?
I think it's important. I think titles are important. And I know, no knock to Coach Belichick, who has been a huge mentor to me over the years as a player and as a colleague. What I would say is I believe titles are important, outward looking. But as far as in the building, I don't care what your title is. It's what's your job? What value do you bring to the organization? And I think that's the most important thing. And sometimes I think in business and sports, people get caught up in titles, but I also understand the other side. If you want to continue to get promoted, people have to know exactly what you do. But like I said earlier, inside, it's all about collaboration. That's what Thunder talked about, and that's what I'm about as well.
Hey, Gerard. what's the difficulty of replacing the greatest coach of all time and filling those shoes and, you know, honoring and keeping the DNA that he infused and altering it in the ways that you see fit?
Yeah, you know, this organization has had a lot of success over the years for a long time. And there have been many teams that, you know, they have one good year and then they're out for 3 years. One thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder is about just surrounding yourself with good people. Right, surround yourself with good people. Now, as far as our staff and things like that, we're gonna be good. We're gonna be a lot better. Now, Bill always says this, managing expectations. For me, I'm not trying to be Bill. I'm not trying to be Bill. I think that Bill is his own man. If you can't tell by now, I'm a little bit different even up here. But what I will say is, you know, the more I think about like the lessons that I've taken from Bill, hard work works, right? Hard work works, and that's what we're all about.
Hey, Gerard, good to see you here, over here.
Oh,
over
Devin.
Here. Yeah, good to see you. Have you taken the time? I know, obviously, huge opportunity, and everyone wants to, you know, who's the coordinators, who's this, X's and O's. But have you had the opportunity just to celebrate with your family and really soak in the opportunity being the first black coach? All of the lessons you've learned being here, have you had that opportunity to just take, whether it's a night, 10 minutes, to really kind of enjoy and take on what you're about to do next?
I haven't had that opportunity, but we're turning up tonight, back to work tomorrow.
I'll hang out with you.
Gerard, you've had the chance to play for a number of different head coaches over the course of your playing career, including Bill. You referenced Bill. I'm curious, do you have another couple of coaches that you're going to kind of take their philosophy and kind of apply it here and apply it here? What have you learned from those guys over the course of your playing career?
Yeah, the one thing I will say is philosophy is interesting, especially if you're talking about X's and O's. We've always been a game plan team, whether offense, defense, or special teams. Our philosophy has to be flexible. But one thing I will say, like, you know, we're talking about on the field philosophy, but there's also a philosophy in the building, right? In the building, like what you want out of the people who are really leading the team. One thing I believe in, when I talk about leadership, most people think it's like a chessboard and a guy moving pieces on the board. I really don't believe that to be correct as far as developing leaders. I think of it more as gardening. Right, gardeners really don't grow anything. They just make sure the soil is right. They grab the weeds out there. They water it every day, and whatever grows, grows. And that's how I approach leadership. I don't want to be, and we talked about it before, but collaboration is huge. I want to just water seeds. And right now, we're in the evaluation process where we are planting seeds, right? We are planting seeds, and hopefully that will lead to the next dynasty here with the Kraft family.
Hey, Gerard, you just mentioned the word collaboration. I'm curious, and I know Robert just mentioned some of the plans, short term at least, for personnel. But how do you view your role moving forward when it comes to building the team? How much say do you plan on having when it comes to how this roster gets constructed?
That's a great question, Phil. You know, one thing with collaboration, also they're experts. And I believe in leaning on experts in their field. Now, will we always do what that expert, you know, advises us to do? No, absolutely not. But at the same time, I'm going to go into this thing with no expectations. And I said this as a rookie. I wanted to be a sponge and learn as much as I can. And we have a lot of people in this building that I can learn from in those regards.
Hey, Gerard.
Hey.
When it comes to your offense, what's your vision for getting that group back on track?
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, I would say just the energy, right? The passion, the leaders on the offensive side of the ball. I think you have to get that stuff in place. And honestly, you know, as the season starts to roll, well, this season when it ends, we start in the weight room. I think the weight room is one of the most important areas in the building to really evaluate the people you have on your team. And one thing we don't want to do is have people who are complainers or finger pointing or things like that. And the best teams I've really been a part of have been teams that, whether I'm talking about high school, college, or the NFL, teams that are not led by the players, but things are enforced by the players. It's like almost getting something, you know, your mom or dad telling you something versus your brother. It just hits a little bit differently. And I don't want to just talk about offense, but that's across the board. Special teams, you know, defense and offense. You want your players to have a sense of accountability. You want your players to have a sense of commitment. You want your players to, when they walk out the door, you're not worried about the decisions that they're going to make outside of this building. Once again, I think we have a good foundation. We have a good foundation. And my thing here over the next few weeks is to rebuild some relationships, knock down silos, and collaborate. That's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, hey, Robert. You and your 31 years, you haven't had a general manager by title. Do you intend to appoint a general manager?
We're, as I said, this is the first time in a quarter of a century we had to make major changes. And we want to see what we have in-house, look what's out there in the marketplace, and then do what we think is right. I know people have ideas, but I can just assure you, any decision we make at this time will be to try to give the support to Gerard and put the organization in the best place it can to win games. So we don't have a fixed formula. We're going to do, we know what's worked for us in the past, and that's what we're going to do here in the future.
Gerard, congratulations.
Thank you.
Question first, Robert. Gerard said that being the first black coach was important to him. Curious, what does it mean to you? And if I could ask you, Gerard, have you reached out to any of the folks like, you know, Tony or, you know, Tomlin, just to get their sense of what it means to them?
You want to start it off?
Yeah. Let me say this to you. I'm really colorblind in terms of, I know what I feel like on Sunday when we lose. And I can just tell you that there's nothing after my family, my passion is with the New England Patriots, and there's something else very close second, but winning at the Patriots is my passion. So I want to get the best people I can get. I chose the best head coach for this organization. He happens to be a man of color, but I chose him because I believe he's best to do the job.
Yeah, and you know, Mike T, he reached out. He's actually from our hometown back in Virginia as well. So We haven't really talked about the challenges. I appreciate, you know, Thunder and the organization selecting me to be a black head coach. I would say what Thunder just talked about, that was in the locker room. You want your locker room to be pretty diverse, and you would want the world to look like that. What I will say, though, is I do see color, because I believe if you don't see color, you can't see racism. And whatever happens, black, white, disabled person, I've always, even someone with disabilities, I always, you know, for the most part, people are like, you know, don't, you know, when they're young, they kind of make the spot hot. Younger people know what that means. But what I would say is, like, no, I want you to be able to go up to those people and really understand those people. So it goes back to whatever it is, black, white, yellow, it really doesn't matter, but it does matter so we can try to fix a problem that we all know we have.
Hey, guys, to your right. Gerard, congratulations.
Thank you.
Robert, a quick question for you. Just curious, where is Jonathan in all this? Why wasn't he present and participating last week and now today? And how would you describe Jonathan's role in the football operation moving forward?
Say, I couldn't hear you clearly at the end.
Where is Jonathan, and how would you describe his role in the football operation moving forward?
Well, I know Jonathan had planned to be here today. He really is running all of the craft group companies, and something has come up today that was really important. But he really serves as, he's like a equal partner to me in the running of the operation strategically. He's not involved in the day-to-day operations. He's helping me on an overall basis in the ownership position, and would have been here, but one of the other companies had an issue that was critical, and he's dealing with that.
Gerard, congratulations over here to the left.
Thank you.
A football question and a family question, if you don't mind. First, on the football front, in terms of the path back to the playoffs, what sort of timeline do you envision for the Patriots? And then as far as the family, you've talked a lot about family. What role have they played in your football life?
Yeah, I'll be honest, it's too early to really talk about timelines and changing things. So it's too early for that. One thing I could spend all day up here is talking about my family. Obviously, you know, starts right here with my grandfather and my grandmother. They've been very instrumental in my life, as well as my mom and stepdad, brothers, you know, my wife, everybody. Like, they've all been very instrumental. What I will say is, one thing about my grandfather, he was a chief master sergeant in the Air Force, and when he retired, like, he really, there was a gap there between Wilson, my stepdad, really joining the family. My mom was a single parent for a while, but my grandfather, he really filled a lot of gaps, as well as my grandmother. I still remember going to her house, eating spaghetti, the best spaghetti in the world, I do. I remember my grandfather making us, you know, jump in trash cans to push the trash down, or he had rental properties. He would wake us up at 5 a.m, you know, as a 12, 13-year-old boy, no one wants to wake up at 5 a.m. to go paint houses and things like that. At the time, it was crazy at the time. It was like, man, it was torture, right? It was torture at the time. But when I look back on those things, and I look back on those things often, I really appreciate all the lessons that you guys have bestowed upon us, and I still use some of those lessons today with the players and also my kids. My mom, Wilson, look, they put up with a lot as well, right? Four boys in the house, I'll tell you guys. Four boys in the house, it's always tough. And one, you know, some people that don't get a lot of love are step-parents. And what I would say about Wilson, like, you think about this, he married my mom. My mom already had four kids, four boys. And I hope I'm not out of pocket for talking about it, but I think it's important. I think, especially with men, like, we, at this time, if you think about football and how it's changed, we have kids getting drafted with kids. And so that leads to kids raising kids. And so when I talk about developing people, I think that's a huge part of what we're going to do here as an organization, develop these men, and the rest will take care of itself.
Jerod, congratulations to you and your family back here.
Oh, okay.
I'll be back here. Congratulations. In your estimation, how far do you think that this team is from getting back to the level of competing for championships?
Yeah, I kind of answered that one just a little while ago. I think it's too early to tell. We're still in the evaluation process, so we'll see.
Robert, Jerod, congratulations. Robert, this is a question for you. As you said, this is the first time in 25 years that you've had to revamp your football operations. Why did you decide not to do a head coaching search, talk to other people? What was it about Jerod that made you convicted just to name him head coach?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, in all our companies, early on when we started doing well, people try to get us to go public and bring in partners that we can make all kinds of money and everything. And I made a decision. I always wanted to stay private and didn't want partners who would weigh in, because our family, it's a family group of business, and we like to think strategically what's best for the long term, not have to do things that are going to require quick decisions. And we're willing to do things that are unorthodox. And, you know, it's worked out pretty well for us over the last 50 years. And so here, you know, I've learned, you know, when I went with my instincts, the two women in my life that I lucked out is one-day connection, and I just went with my instinct. And the only time I didn't was Bill Belichick in 96, after I saw what went on. I didn't hire him. I made another hire. And I didn't hire him. My instinct was to do it. But because of his loyalty to a man we had such difficulty with, who did a great job for him, but he took another job when we were going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I just couldn't bring someone in that I, because trust is so important. But as I watched what happened, you know, when he was with his next team, I realized I made a mistake. I should have gone with my instincts in 96, and I hired Bill, and that worked out pretty well. Well, I have the same feeling now, having watched Jerod for 16 years in a lot of different situations. And, you know, we just, I think sometimes we think a little differently than our competitors, and we try to do what's right for our system. And I think we got someone very special who understands how to manage young people today. I mean, the world is different than 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. And, you know, in all our businesses, we try to create a culture that people want to stay with and be there long term. And I think that Jerod has the makeup and chemistry, and it's genuine. What he has is genuine. And just think about how he got elected captain in his second year with us, when we had tremendous veterans. And I think it went for 7 years. He was captain in a tremendous period. And then he went out on his own in business to get a change. And then it's just, I think we're ready to kick butt.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Jerod. First, Jerod, congratulations on this well-deserved honor.
Thank you.
I was just curious. I see a few of the players in the kind of here today. Just what has the response been like from them since this announcement was made official?
Yeah. When it was made official, my phone was buzzing off the hook. So if I didn't text some of the guys back, I apologize. I'll get to it here hopefully soon. But the guys have been great. And once again, it's all about the players. One thing I took from Coach Belichick, he would always say that players win games and coaches lose games. And it's our job as coaches to put the players in the position to go out there and play to their strengths.
Congratulations, Gerard.
Thanks, Karen. Good to see you.
I was just wondering, as a first-year head coach, jumping into a four-win team, what do you consider the greatest challenge? Is it developing or establishing buy-in? Is it making sure to have the right personnel? Is it having the right quarterback? How do you view that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Kind of what I told you earlier, we're still evaluating everything, right? As far as the players, as far as the schemes, as far as the coaching staff. And I will probably be better equipped to answer this question a little bit down the line. But at the same time, as long as the coaches and as long as some of the leaders on your team, I'm talking the guys on the contract, really believe in the mission, now it's their job, or the mission or the vision, now it's their job to go disseminate that amongst their peers. Now look, once again, going back to the analogy of your mom or dad telling you something versus your brother telling you something, I think we have great leadership on this team already, and I'm really not concerned that we can't get it done.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Robert, one for you. You talked about your passion for the football team. How involved will you and ownership be in football decision-making and operations? Say you want a quarterback at three, and they say, no, we're not doing that, we're trading down. What role would you guys have in making your preferences known and acted upon?
Well, it'll be the same import that we've had for the last three decades. We try to hire the best people we can find and let them do their job and hold them accountable. And if you get involved and tell them what to do or try to influence them, you can't hold them responsible and have them accountable. So it'll be within the people's discretion who are the decision makers to do it. And if we've hired the wrong people, then we'll have to make a change. But we're going to try to enjoy it as fans. The only area that we have really weighed in is when it comes to bringing in people that we might think are not the right character to be here, and they have done things in their past. That's the only time we've really weighed in.
Congratulations, Gerard. Hello, Robert. You both can take a shot at this, but I'll start with you, Gerard, because you had the phrasing of knocking down some walls and rebuilding some relationships, you know, getting out of these silos. What walls need to be knocked down, in your opinion? What relationships need to be rebuilt? And Robert, you can take it as well.
Yeah, as we evaluate the players, the scheme, and things like that, I think you have to evaluate the culture and evaluate how the pieces fit. I will say this, like my philosophy, I don't want to be in an echo chamber. I just don't. I want people who are going to be honest and open and then hopefully come together and make a sound decision. Now, what's an expert? An expert has to be someone really validated by their peers, right? So I'm not going to sit here and try to say, you know, this guy should be squatting this much. I don't know that much about squatting. So I'm going to, especially early on, I think you have to lean on the experts in their space. So, Thunder.
Beautifully answered.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. We'll do a quick reset here and then do a photo op.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all for coming.
Appreciate it.